Change. Change is coming. We see it everywhere. See it everywhere. See it in a political climate. How many caught news today? Any news today? Did you catch the news today? Mr. Trump, our president-elect, got up and spoke the first time to the people that think they're in charge. And CNN got up to ask him a question. He said, "I'm not answering your question. You're fake news. Sit down." Said, but, and he started to scream, and he says, "You're being rude. Sit down. I'm not answering your questions. All you are is a bunch of fake news." Never did answer their question. Times, they are changing. I don't agree with everything Mr. Trump is doing, but I sure like his chutzpah. He's got chutzpah. I think he's doing it on purpose. You don't get to a place where he is without having some brains. I think he's just doing it on purpose. How about? We need to pray for that. But there's change happening everywhere. You know, in my day it was Slinkies and Etch-a-Sketch. Now it's PS4s and Xboxes and virtual reality. And the world went and changed on us while we were sleeping. We serve an unchanging God that is in a tumultuous, changing world that we live in. It's almost too much for us to keep up with. I got it on good information that Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win on Sunday, but when I go to watch the game, if I watch it upstairs, I've got to take this little antenna, this little cheap thing I got, and I throw it around. I just throw it over in the corner, and the channel comes on. Sometimes it doesn't, and I got to pick it up, throw it in the other corner. And so it's just a little plastic thing that I throw around until I get the channel. And then, if the wind shifts or something, I got to throw it around again. But guess what? The channel never changes. Pittsburgh's still going to win whether I see it or not. Change hits us when we want to have a consistent relationship with God. And God is certainly consistent. Changes upon us. The way people communicate, the way information is translated from one person to another, from one entity to another, my gosh, we don't even need to watch shows with commercials anymore. We just wait and tape them or see them on Netflix, and we can see a whole season in 2 days. If we call binge watching. You know, when we have to look at a commercial, we're tapping our feet and going, "Whoa, can't fast forward this thing." Everything's changing on us. And we've got to change with it if we're going to communicate the gospel in a proper way. As I've been praying this season of my life, I'm resistant, much as I talk about change. I don't really like talking about it, and I like doing it less. I like consistent things. If I have a meal and that meal tastes a certain way, I want it that way every time I eat it. I don't want any other spices. I don't want less salt. I don't want more salt. I don't want more gravy. Ask my wife. Boring. I'm resistant to change because I like things. I have a routine. I do the same thing every day. I like routine. But I realize if I'm going to be sharp and effective and consistent and full of courage, I'm going to go with the change. And I'm not going to be surprised. You know, we come from a generation, most of us in this room, there's a few young folks, but most of us in this room come from the Slinky and crossword puzzle generation. You know, we communicated things when something happened. If we found out about it 2 or 3 days later, that was considered quick. Party lines, some of you would have never made it had you had go through party lines. 10 houses on one phone. And you went to make a phone call, you might wait 3 hours. Especially on a Saturday, boy, that's when everybody called their kinfolk, you know. Talk to Clarence across the river. You know? Now everything's so quick. We got cell phones, we got iPads, we got computers, we got everything. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. And I realize that God speaking through the prophet is really speaking into this moment, kind of cutting edge stuff that we'll talk about tonight. But it's not cutting edge if we won't go with it and we won't follow what the Holy Spirit is doing. Because God's got a way of doing things. I'll tell you, I was telling somebody the other day, I've got a sister-in-law's son, which would make him my nephew, wouldn't it? By marriage. And he plays in what they call a goth band. Christian. And I'm telling you, the guy has tattoos and earrings, like starting here all the way down, lip ring, nose ring. And they get up and they play music that it's really not music. You know what I'm saying? Sounds like somebody killing a hog with a blunt instrument. I got on and watched his website. It was like I couldn't listen to it. I listened to it for about 2 minutes and I had to pray. I just cast that thing out of me. But it's a Christian band. They've been doing it for about 15 years. They hand out thousands of Bibles. They've had literally thousands of people come to Christ. They disciple kids all the time. They're reaching a generation that just is weird. They're weird. And they champion that weirdness, and somehow they work Christ into it. Now, do I like it? Absolutely not. If they ever invited me to the concert, I'd scab the tickets. I'd give the tickets to somebody. I'd sell them to somebody else. I just couldn't stand being in the same room with that. But I've got to recognize that God is working through that vehicle, through the vehicle of that band. I've got to realize that. And every time I think about them, I like to say I pray for them all the time. I don't. But when I do, I pray for them to be effective and to reach. Because if a soul's reached for Christ, what do I care what they listen to? As long as it's Christ-centered. Isaiah 43, verse 18. 43, verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. But you have not called upon me, Jacob. You have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifice. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have bought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifice, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. God talking to Israel, talking to Jacob, talking in a way to catch their attention of where they were with him. And I believe God is speaking to us in this hour of where we have kind of atrophied to. He says, look, I'm doing a new thing and I'm going to catch you up if you just follow me. I want to talk about change tonight. God has been speaking to us about change. The leadership here, I know myself, we've been talking about change. We've been meeting with people. How do we change? What's change look like? Because we don't want to change for the sake of change. But if God's doing a new thing, I want to get on board. How many are there? I mean, if he's doing a new thing, I want to formulate my life to follow him, even though it's uncomfortable for me. Yeah, I want people to come to church at 9:30 and have a good time and worship, and I want the Holy Spirit to move. And when we're done, let's eat and go home. But God's doing a new thing, see? And how he does that? Does he do it within confines of our mold, or is he making a new mold? And he has a right to make a new mold. The church we have today looks nothing like the church in the 70s. You'd never see writing on the walls in the 70s. How many are there? If you brought a guitar in church, you had to sacrifice a sheep, man. You bring a guitar into church. There was organ, piano. And certainly not drums. I mean, you had drums. And hymnals. And pews. And we don't do anything like we used to. But we've been kind of stuck in this little convenient place we are in. He's given me a vision for this year that involves change. And some of the change that's going to happen is going to chafe at you. I'll just tell you right now, it's going to chafe. You're going to buck. I'm just telling you, we're trying to hear God and make the change according to what He tells us. So this involves some trust, see? This involves some trust. And none of us are saying that we got it all together. See, if you fall, you get back up. And if you're brave enough to go through the changes, if you're brave enough, if you say, God, I'm wanting to follow you. And I want to hear you so clearly, but sometimes it doesn't work out the way it does. So God is doing a new thing. Number one, do we want it? Number one, God is doing a new thing. Do we want it? The past is good. We've had a good past here, history of a church. I mean, New Life has been effective. It's been good. There's a rich heritage and a lot of accomplishments in the past years. Missionaries being sent out, people being sent out. We had a young man speaking here that was raised up in his church. Sean Bansett spoke on Sunday. How many heard the message on Sunday? Tremendous. I mean, and he's being effective. He's literally sending people throughout the globe, touching the globe. And it all started right here. There has been some great leaders who have endured and thrived right here in the midst. Right here, there's been people that have stuck it out for 30 years waiting on the promises of God. Come on, somebody. Right back, Stephen, Joanne, Alry. I mean, they came, wandered in this place and said, we're with you. And God's been doing some good things. And there has been great strides in buildings and missions and etc. But now it's the time for a focus. What is God saying? We can't be the only ones. There can't be just a handful of people saying, God, what are you saying? We need all of us to say, God, what are you saying? If you feel like this is the place where you get fed and you feed and you minister, because I see teachers out here, I see people, but we've kind of got used to the way things are. And God may be calling people to active duty that may not want to. You ought to. The past is not only good, the past is familiar. We always did it that way. We hear that all the time. We always did it this way. Let's continue to do it. It sounds good. I'm comfortable. An expectation of events taking place as always. Come into church. We look at the same people sitting in the same places as we've talked about before. We're comfortable with that. There's nothing inherently wrong with that, except when people come into this position, into this place, they're seeing that we're kind of comfortable. We may not have room for them. No room in the inn only worked once. Are you there? A programmed response and a walking through services. I mean, no, with all the chaotic world and all the changes happening, it's nice to come to church, sit, know what's going to happen, worship, talk to the same people, go home. It's nice. How many know that's nice? But we're going to get to do that for an eternity. 420 elders worshiping before the throne, the angels, the folks, all the tribes and all the things and all the deals and grandma and uncle. And we get to worship God forever, an eternity. Not only is the past good, the past familiar, but the past is comfortable. What are the comfort zones that God may be stirring up in your heart? What do you get comfortable with? Some things, it's just good to become. I'm comfortable in God's presence. No matter what He's asking me to do, I'm comfortable with my Father. So comfortability is not a bad thing. If that's a word, comfortability, you'll have to look that up. Check me out. We limit our potential for growth if we stay in our comfort zone. That's why churches are 70 or 80 people. It's comfortable. We're not really stretching. We're not really reaching. We're not really asking. Because when people come, things change. When prodigals come back, we got to get used to the ring and the garment and the thing that the prodigals are going to have. They're going to prophesy. They're going to go out and win souls. They're going to do things. And we're going to have to say, yay. When we may feel like saying, God, why didn't you do this when we were here without the prodigal? Why? Because we're resistant to change. God, we had a good thing going. Did you like our programming? Come on. God says, no, I want to binge watch you guys. I don't want commercials. You'll get that later. We limit our potential for growth if we stay in our comfort zone. Are you comfortable with attending church twice a week? I'm talking to people that usually are here twice a week. Are you comfortable with that? Going through a planned time weekly? Set it on your calendar. 9:30 on Sunday morning, 6:30 on Wednesday night. You know you're going to be out of here by 8 or 8:30. You know you're going to be out here by 11:30 or 12 o'clock unless there's a lot of food so we can stay and eat. I think it's time to challenge ourselves to be passionate about change. To embrace it and to say, God, what are you doing? Because this generation is looking for something new. Doing the same thing over and over again and being happy with the results is called backsliding. Somebody said doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is insanity. But I say doing the same thing over and over and being happy with the results is called backsliding. Smith Wigglesworth said, to remain on the same spiritual level for two consecutive days is backsliding. Uh-oh. Quiet in here. Smithy was a hard guy to get along with. Nobody liked Smith Wigglesworth. But he got the job done. He was not a popular guy, contrary. He is now because he's dead. Everybody talks about how powerful he was. Well, you couldn't stand being in the same room with him. He'd make you feel guilty about combing your hair. What are you combing your hair for? Why aren't you out winning souls? Cast that devil out of you. He'd strike people all the time. He'd hit people, knock them over. But he got the job done. I don't want anybody hitting anybody. God's doing a new thing. If we are negative, we won't see it. Are we willing to follow God? And that's what it really comes down to. God, are we willing to go into the new territory? Into the undiscovered country? Are we willing to go where no man has gone before? In our generation. At least in this area. Imagine with me, just for a minute, imagine with me being the generation that was born in the wilderness and entered the promised land. Imagine if you would, growing up in the wilderness. Every day you got up, manna was outside the tent. The glory of God was in the center of the camp. You stood at the doorway and worshiped the Lord. Went to take your burnt sacrifices. The glory cloud was there in the day. The pillar of fire at night. Your clothes never wore out. You never got sniffles. You never had to till the ground. You never had to work. All you did all day is worship God. Are you there? Your chores consisted of watching Dad pick up the manna outside. And then all of a sudden you cross over into the promised land. The first day you're there, the manna goes away. You eat the land, you eat the fruit of the land of Canaan. Their clothes started to wear out immediately. They had to work the land and conquer the enemy. They had to go to war. And for years they didn't have any warfare. They had to fight anybody. Somebody disagreed, the ground opened up and swallowed them. God took care of it. Oh, you disagreed? Let me get over here and watch. Now they had to fight. Now they said, we're going to go into Jericho. We're going to go into Ai. We're going into the different, 10 cities that they took immediately across it. Everything changed in their lives. What if all of a sudden everything's changing in our life? It is. It's changing. Even before our eyes, it's changing. Is our comfort zone so vital that we would resist change to retain it? I like the way things are. Man, I'll shake my head up and down. I'll smile, but I'm not going to change. I'm just not going to do it. We like things the way they are. And we can do that corporately and watch the parade pass us by. That we would resist change to retain it. Here's the things we can change. Just some thoughts. Don't shoot the messenger. The times we come to service. Come and pray. If you're used to coming in 3 minutes before, come in 13 minutes before. Not a big change, but come in. Maybe join us in prayer. Maybe just sit and pray. Maybe minister to somebody. That can change. Our involvement in worship and prayer. Hey, there are sometimes I'd rather sing anything than what's being sung up here. But if I'm entering in, God inhabits the praises of His people. Notice that scripture does not say God inhabits the praises that people like. Praise isn't for us, it's for the Lord. Here's another change that can happen. Our witness when we are out and about. Just saying. Grocery list will take care of itself. Maybe somebody needs ministered to. Our concern for the lost can change. Our tolerance for those that are different can change. Come on, somebody. Not everybody does the things the way that we do it. And I really want them to. I really want them to do the things the way I do it. I just got to tell you. And I think when somebody gets saved, they should follow my gospel. The way I look at the gospel. But I realize that there are different ways people hear from God. I know you think the same thing. The things that will not change, that we will not change, is our passion for worship. We've always got to be passionate about worship, no matter what form that takes. We're passionate because the object of our worship is the Holy Trinity. The Lordship of Christ in all we do. Jesus Christ can be Lord of all things or Lord of no things. He can't be Lord in just a few ways. We've got to continue to have Him be Lord. The love that we have for one another will not change. That's one of the things that people are resistant to when churches change. The reason why churches can only go through a small change is because people don't want things to change to the point where they're not holding the same positions in friendship and standing, because it becomes an uncomfortable thing. But we'll always have love for one another. Just because we are receiving new people does not mean that we ignore each other. We still love each other. Come on, someone. I brag about you guys everywhere I go. I always tell the pastors, you pastor a good church, I pastor the best church. I mean, I love you guys. But we need to reap. It's time to have babies. Just because our focus is for the prodigal and the lost does not mean your needs will not be met. Thirdly, God is doing a new thing. Will we pay the price? God is doing a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And certainly we have wildernesses and deserts in our midst. So we need to pay the price, will we? Paying the price first in prayer. Paying the price in prayer. It's not coming out so good up there, but just trust me, that's what it says. Personal and public prayer. We've got to grow in our prayer life, publicly and personally. We've got to practice the presence of God. Intercession for those who are coming back, interceding for our lost loved ones, interceding for the lost in the community, interceding for our leaders, interceding for the leadership here in the church. We covet your prayers. We've got to be able to hear God. We don't want to waste God's time or our time going in a direction just to go in a direction. We want our footstep to be sure. My prayer is, God, let be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Because I realize that we're going in a direction. Someone said, if you think you're a leader and you take a walk and there's nobody following you, all you are is taking a walk. So I want to go. I want to be effective. I want to be punctual. I want to be a good tool in the hand of the Lord. I want New Life to be a good tool. So we need to pay the price in prayer. Secondly, we need to pay the price in fasting. And I'm just encourage you to have a consistent life of fasting. Fast where you're at. You say, well, I hate to fast. Well, join the club. I don't know anybody that really likes to fast. But practice it. Just miss a meal. Just miss one meal. It's not fair to say I'm going to miss a meal for 15 minutes, then I'll eat. No, you skip the whole meal. You eat breakfast, you don't eat lunch, and you eat supper. Supper doesn't come at 2 o'clock because you didn't eat at noon. Man, I just got to have something to eat. Your body will do okay. You can go 8 hours without eating. Trust me. Fasting, what's it say in Isaiah 54? Somebody tell me what fasting does. 58, I'm sorry. What's fasting do? Louder. Yeah, break the chains, unloose the bonds of wickedness. So we ought to practice. I'm looking at some mature people now. But we need to get back to the practice of fasting. Maybe once a week, maybe twice a week. People say, well, I fast from things. Well, if you fast from things, then do it. Don't say you're going to and don't do it. February, we're going to put the challenge out to fast from all social networking. No social networks, no texting unless you absolutely have to. Brad let me in on the secret. I didn't know why kids text, but a lot of times they have phones where if they talk on the phone, it costs them money and minutes. So texting is free if they're on Wi-Fi. So that's why they text all the time, because it then costs minutes. I didn't know that. Did you know that? I didn't know that. So there's, pardon me? But that's the main reason they do it. Yeah. I mean, they don't have the minutes to talk on the phone, so they text. They can text as long as they're, and talk on Facebook till the cows come home. But you and I'm making a challenge in February anyway. No social networking, nothing, no answering texts. Only answer what you have to. Now, I'm going to still get my email because a lot of people communicate me that way. But I am not getting on social networking. I'm not going to, if you text me, you're not going to get an answer back. You want to talk to me, call me on the phone. And if you don't get an answer, it's going to be okay. I'll call you back. We're going to try the whole month of February. That's another challenge. That's coming up. But fast from things. Thirdly, pay the price in being a servant. If we're going to pay the price for a change, a shift in mindset will catch heaven's attention. Be ready to disciple people that need your discipling. I see some gray heads in here. Younger people need us. Pick a young person. Pray for them. Talk to them. Give them literature. Take them out for a cup of coffee. Invite them to the house, God forbid. Get uncomfortable. Tape the Pittsburgh game because they're going to win anyway. A shift in compassion will threaten the host of hell. Be ready to deliver. Not only disciple, but be ready to deliver, cast out some stuff out of the young people. Because they're going to come in with a bunch. Let me tell you, things are going to get messy. We've been telling you this now for a year. You say, when it's going to happen? people start coming in here, they're going to be messy. They'll sit in the back. They won't want to get involved. We've had a couple that aren't coming back because we've got to love them where they're at. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Not God the Father, God the Son, and Rick. We've got to love them where they're at. But a shift in compassion will threaten the hosts of hell. A shift in giving of time, talent, and treasure will be a clarion call to the lost. God will entrust us with souls whenever we align with His change. Not until. He's not going to waste precious souls on somebody that will kick him over in the corner. He's just not going to do it. He's just not going to, you know, people come in, you give them a Bible and say, I'll see you next Sunday. No, we got to love them. We got to pray for them. We got to get interested in their life. We got to go out of our comfort zones. Instead of sitting back here and talking to friends we talk to all the time, we go over to them and say, hey, you got some time? Let's go over to Burger King. Grab a hamburger and a cup of coffee, man. I want to find out about your life. Is that okay? I'm buying. Very few people would turn you down. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people tonight? I'm sorry, Ricky. I'm sorry. Sorry, Ricky. Pittsburgh's got it this year. A shift in giving, time, talent, and treasure, it will be a clarion call to the lost. When we align with what God is doing, when the spies went in, the two spies went into Jericho, what did Rahab say? We heard about what you did with those two cities. That was 25 years before they ever got to the Jordan. When God was ready to do a new thing, He said, cross over. Everything changed. Everything changed. Everything changed. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. Can you imagine 250,000 people screaming at the same time? I forgot to look it up on my Super Google. I wonder how far that noise would carry. Think about that. 250,000 people shouting to the top of their lungs. How far would that noise carry? What would you say? 5 miles? 10 miles? 20 miles? 20 miles away and you hear this roar. I bet it shook the ground. Yeah. Yeah, just the size of the group. And it's great. Listen, you talk about change. But it was effective. It was powerful. People say, why did God? Because He had to wipe out the enemy. But they went in and possessed the land. God said, go in and possess the land. And possess the land they did. And I believe in this generation, God's talking to you and me to possess the land. It's time. Nature abhors a vacuum. Other people have been steering and they've done a terrible job. It's like being in the car with Jackie Smay. Jackie Smay was a classmate of mine. And I took driver's training with Jackie Smay. And I learned to pray with Jackie Smay. She got in that steering wheel, man. The driver's ed teacher, how many remember the driver's ed teacher used to have the brake on his side? Well, he used that puppy all the time. Because when he didn't, we were in trouble. Driving down the road, true story, driving down the road, and Mr., what was his name? I forget his name now. But he said, we're going to make this right up here, Jackie. And she's going, she's tolling at about 35 miles an hour. She gets up there, she doesn't hit the brake, and she makes the right. We slide, knock out a stop sign. True story. Knock out the stop sign, dent the whole side of the car. We're sitting in the back praying. Jackie Smay. So, when it came time for us to drive, everybody breathed a sigh of relief. Anybody else but Jackie Smith? Well, whoever's been driving the vehicle of the church in this hour cannot keep the thing between the ditches. We haven't done anything to push the kingdom of God forward in many years. Oh, there's other gospels that's being preached. Buildings are being built. People are congregating, but we haven't effected a change. There's been no atmospheric revival. There's been no atmospheric change. For Pete's sakes, nobody could have predicted that in this minute that we live in, we could kill babies, marry our brothers. Rail against government, speak against authority. Nobody could have predicted the atrophy that we can't even keep it between the ditches. Somebody needs to get in the steering wheel and say, God, we want to change, but we want to go in the direction of change that's going to keep everybody safe and add to our numbers. Not kill people. So we got to get some guts and we got to change, folks. They say, well, what's that all that mean? Don't ask me. I'm just trying to hear God. I know some things that God has told me. And when we begin to implement those things, I know people are going to be chafed. But it's going to be okay. Trust me, it's going to be all right. We want you to hang in there with us. Apply the Vaseline to the chafe. It's like this spring. I know all the kind of things are going to happen in our house. Terry loves spring change. I want everything. Leave the bed where it's at. Leave the couch where it's at. I like it there. When I get up in the dark, I don't have to turn the light on. I know where everything is. We need to pay the price lastly in expectation. Pray with us that God would have His way each time we meet. I'm asking you to pray every time we meet, even on Wednesday nights. Seems like this is the laid back time. Even on Wednesday nights, we're asking God to go through a series and that sort of thing. We want to invite people in. We want to disciple folks that way. But pray with me that every time we meet, there'd be a higher level of expectation. Corporately, we come, we have an expectation that we're going to meet God face to face. Because if all we do is hear me speak and the worship team worship or the thing and the deal and everybody hug and we get all the sound, the lights and the thing, and we'll still all be comfortable, but we're still going to be here next year at the same time going, what's God doing? Also pray that we would see salvations and recommitments on a regular basis. We see salvations and recommitments on a regular basis. Not just here in the church, but when we go somewhere. God forbid that we should not pick up the bananas and pray salvation with somebody. Honey, I forgot the bananas, but we got a new soul in heaven. Glory to God. I got to go back to the store. Maybe I'll find another soul. And recommitments. I mean, that's something that God has really laid on my heart. The recommitments of people that have just had it with church. They're gone. They don't want to come back. But I have a feeling the Holy Spirit's calling them back. Like the prodigal coming to himself. Sean talked about it on Sunday. Come to his senses. Servants have it as better than I do. People say, man, I'll go back to that boring service before I'll be out here. Change is inevitable. We will either change and become a force for the kingdom of heaven or change and become irrelevant. If we reach a place of irrelevancy, it's time to hang the cleats up. Like the Patriots are going to do this here. Anyhow. God is excited about our generation. Young people, I had a conversation a couple months ago. We went to the high school and I had a conversation with a foreign exchange student about God, Chinese. And he said, "What's this fascination you guys have with God?" And I said, "Well, God created everything we see." He said, "That's not true. Everything was here. God didn't create it." I think I gave testimony once. I said, give me your watch. He had a Chinese watch. I said, "You know, who made this watch?" He named the company. And I said, "Well, when it came, did it all come like this? Or did it come in pieces?" He said, "No, it came like this. Why would it come in pieces?" I said, "Would you mind?" So I reached for my shoe. "I'm going to bust this thing up with the shoe and put it in a bag, and you and I will put it back together after I shake it up." He said, "Give me back my watch." But they're hungry. Man, he was hungry after that. I cut the conversation off on purpose because he was a smart kid. I'll bet you he's still thinking about that conversation. People are hungry. Especially the young people of our day, they're hungry. They want to make some sense of things. Just heard this thing about millennials. You know, they've been given everything. Nobody's ever said no to them. It's time they heard no. Can't continue to live this life that you're living and go to heaven. And they're going to come, they're going to ask us, and hopefully we'll be ready. Amen? Change. Bridge is built. We're going after the enemy. Don't let signs scare us. We're not running away from the enemy. We're going towards the enemy, going towards the battle. We're crossing over. We've had a lot of fun with the glory cloud and with the peace and the heart and the things and the hugging each other and eating together and loving each other. Now it's time to go and do the work. Roll up the sleeves, get sweaty, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. Amen? All of that right in our little Jerusalem that we're in. Father, thank you tonight, God, that you are saying explicitly, and I know I'm not saying anything new. When I'm looking in the eyes of those that you allow me to share with, Father, I know that you're saying the same thing to them. Father, there's something afoot. There's a new wind blowing. There's a new wind blowing, God. And I venture to guess. I just trust you enough that you're doing the same thing in my brothers and sisters' hearts, God. You're stirring the same thing up. You're giving us that exhilarating tempo in our hearts. Our heart beats a little bit faster when we think about it, God. Like we read in your word and like we saw years ago, people's lives change, Father. Been a long time since we saw your power move like it's going to. So help us, God, to be ready for that. Help us to be ready for the change to go in the direction, Lord, that you would speak to us, order our footsteps. Help us not to go off half-cocked and just do things because we feel like we need to. And God, we'll stay right beside you. We won't run ahead, Lord. We won't lag behind. We'll walk with you. Father, thank you for your voice that speaks to each and every one of us. I have great confidence that, Lord, you're speaking to my brothers and sisters, to our hearts individually and corporately. So, Father, thank you for what you're doing here at New Life. Yeah, thank you for what you're doing in other churches. It's great. It's fun being together with other pastors. But our house, we want to do in this house what you've called us to do. Father, thank you for anointing. Lord, thank you for anointing the worship team. Thank you for visiting each one. Change, adjust whatever you need to change and adjust in their lives. God, for the leadership here, for the elders, for the board members, God. Just pray, shake us up. Shake us up. Get us to a place of wanting to change, a passion for your glory, a passion for your steps, oh God. God, for each and every one that calls this place their church, their home. Father, I pray that you'd stir. Lord, I pray that you'd awaken gifts again. Lord, I'm looking at teachers and prophets and evangelists right here in this small group, Father. Lord, it's a safe atmosphere to unpack those things and to use them. Father, all this we give to you and we ask it in the precious, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.